Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Nall. This is the Progressive Commentary Hour. For all of our sister stations around the United States and people around the world, we do a lot of hard-hitting investigative reporting, lots of investigation on 5G technology, vaccine safety, GMOs, and all the hard-hitting topics, plus health and nutrition. But there's time and need to lighten it all up and go inside to do some gentle introspective work. And that's what we're going to do now. This is a new, I think, a very relevant for our time, the crisis we're all going through. This is a self-empowerment discussion called Mastering Your Opposite. Hope you enjoy it.
Hi, I'd like to welcome you to a special presentation, one that is a part of our Mastering Life series. This series started over 13 years ago, and over 100 programs have been done in it up to this point. With each one, I try to give different insights of the human condition. The information is meant just as a guide, asking questions, probing assumptions, challenging many of our beliefs, with the hope that at the end of this, you'll be able to look at life a little differently and hopefully be empowered. Today, our discussion is going to focus upon something I feel is very important. It is called Mastering Our Opposite. Now, what do I mean? Let me give you an example. Let's say that you're an individual who has worked very hard at your career. Maybe you're an artist, a writer, a painter, a graphic artist, a sculptor, a dancer, a poet. But at your heart, you feel that you have a life of value beyond just being a mechanic of what you do. That the mechanism is merely a way of getting something accomplished. Even the intellectual mechanism is just to get something out and look at it. When you go into a kitchen and you see a chef that has all their ingredients laid out, you don't know what it's going to look like, how it's going to taste. In fact, it's rather surprising to see wonderful dishes at the end of this process. What we make the mistake of doing more often than not is we judge the ingredients at any given time based upon our fears or expectations of what that final product is supposed to be. So what if I'm afraid to fail? What if I'm afraid to create something that's really unique, away from the recipe? Just let my mind go and say, I'm going to put it together, and it's going to taste great. And I have the confidence to be present for that experience. That's not what we do. What we do is we try to master each of the ingredients and how we should feel about them. In effect, we take one piece of an ingredient of life and we become expert at it. Everyone masters something. I've never met a person who didn't. It's not about education. It's not about finances, social position. It's about, in a world that only respects you if you have established yourself, then what it is that you're going to establish yourself will become an extension of who you are. So now we have a person who wakes up one day and they've created something. They've taken the time and the effort and the energy and the skills to create something. So now they look at their work and they question it. Is it as good as it could be? Is it not as good? How do I know that people will like it or not like it? Maybe it's hard to get started. And now what happens is almost everything necessary to feel good about what they've done, they actually feel bad about it. They actually question themselves. Instead of having jubilation and joy in their experience, they have hesitation. There's a fear that something's wrong. There's not an authentic connection, and there should be. As hard as people work, the problem is that people have mastered their opposite. So doing more of what you've done won't change anything, and yet that's exactly what we do. Even people who are caregivers try to give more. Well, there's only so much you can give, and then there's nothing left to give. People who in a relationship give more, attention and time and love and affection, adoration. And then one day they wake up and they still feel nothing authentic. There's not that essential connection. You can only connect with something when it's authentically you and not your opposite. If it's your opposite, it's dualistic. The trouble is, we frequently misinterpret what is dualism. We'll say, well, the dualistic of good is bad. But what if we don't see the world that way? What if we have disguised our opposite? We've only mastered part of what we should and not the totality. Then what has happened is we've taken of 100 ingredients that should go into a recipe, we've taken one or two. We've mastered those two. We know everything about those one or two. What are you going to make with one or two? It's never going to be complete. In your mind, it's going to be complete because you're visualizing, fantasizing something that you're not creating in reality. All of you have had expectations far beyond the reality of what you've created, right? You've wanted something, whether it's in a relationship or a job or in someone else. You've projected an ideal. Why do you think people project ideals? Because by projecting an ideal, you're protecting the fallibility of the non-ideal. You're protecting what you've mastered. You've mastered the non-ideal. So you think about the ideal. Now think of that for a moment. Do you understand what I just said? When we focus upon doing something because of how we're going to be received, perceived, judged, evaluated, then all of our energy is in mastering the defense mechanism that allows people to see exactly what they want, we want them to see about us, but also it has its opposite end. We master what we don't want people to see about us, what we don't want people to know about us. That's mastery. You never tell anybody everything about yourself, do you? Because think of all the things you think about that you feel people would not accept or not understand or would fear. So then the opposite of what we want, fulfillment and connecting with something that gives us a sense of belonging, being, has not been mastered. Instead, what we've mastered is a partial self. Here's the good part of me. Here's the part of optimism. Here's the part of jubilance. Here's the part of the wonderful poet, the wonderful artist, the wonderful homemaker, the wonderful lover, the wonderful healer, the wonderful caregiver, the wonderful naturalist, the wonderful idealist. Oh, people gravitate to that. Now you see people like that. You see people are connected to it. So what do? You master it. All your energy goes into defending it. And the more fearful you are of surrendering what you've mastered, the greater reaction to anything that challenges it. Reaction is a direct relationship to the fear that you have of full discovery. Do you understand what that means? Yes? No? Okay, anyone not understand what that means? All right, let me be a little clearer. Let's say that we want people to know us, identify us for what we believe is the most important quality about us. So we really work on that. And then one day we wake up and people have accepted us for that. And we think, wow, you know, they like me for something. We also know that there are things in our mind, things in our heart, things in our psyche that we know people wouldn't like us the same way. So what do we do with that? We can't just let that come out. So what do? We hide it. When you hide something, you have to remember where you hid it. Right? You don't want it suddenly opening up in a closet and someone saying, oh, let's look in your psyche. Whoa! That's an ugly thing. I don't want that. And then we have to, no, that's not me. You didn't see me in there, and then we start the excuses. Then we get clever enough, because we're so good at mastering the limitation of ourselves, that we stand psychically in front of anything that causes it to change. Why do you think so many people are overweight and then crash, diet, and go right back up? Why do you think so many people think higher ideals than what they actualize on? Why do you think so many people have ideas of being whole and complete and fulfilled and dynamic and love and lovable, and you don't connect with it? And then they work harder at it. The game is mastering working harder for a preferential treatment of yourself and in the eyes of other people. Look, he's working really hard. Give him a break. I mean, look, my God, I mean, she's going to therapy and she's working on herself and she cries a lot and he's, you know, he's doing all he can, and we suddenly we're led astray. Because we're thinking that a person's efforts mean they really want to change. No. It's a game. The opposite would be to change. So that's why you can spend years in this wasteland of trying to be someone that you're not. But you have been who you needed to be, and that's what you mastered. You mastered defenses. You mastered exits, what I call the exits of life. How's this work? It works this way. The moment you commit yourself to anything, that means you have to use everything, where you must embrace your fear and be present with it and realize it's not real. You must embrace your limitations and realize it's you alone that should judge that and no one else. You embrace your insecurity and realize the insecurity is a myth, populating people's minds based upon what the preconceived notion of what you can and cannot do. Well, I'm black. I'm old. I'm a woman. I'm Puerto Rican. I'm poor. I'm uneducated. Think of all the excuses that people have used as a rationale for feeling that this is why I'm not what? Not loved, not respected. And then one day, enough people believe in something, and then it becomes a truth. And then behind that truth, we hide the dysfunctional self, the hidden self, behind myths and stereotypes, behind these cute little things become our exits. So for every step we take forward in life with a challenge, we also have one eye forward on the challenge. Look where we're going. Going to do it this time. Going to work hard. And over here to the left is the exit. But how can you go forward and out at the same time? How can you do it? You can't. You can't be at two places simultaneously with the same energy. But we deceive ourselves. And that's why we're so confused. Because we think that the effort we put in, including the emotional effort, the emotions themselves, emoting doesn't change anything, does it? Cry a river of tears over a problem, and what happens to the problem? Nothing. Be afraid of a problem, what happens? Nothing. Fear disempowers. Uncertainty disempowers. And mastering the wrong side of what you need disempowers. So more of the same. Changing partners, changing careers, changing locations, changing anything doesn't change you. There's never a circumstance more significant than your life. And yet we try to make circumstances our life. Well, if only, you know, if only what? Well, if only she would have loved me, if he would have loved me, if I would have had, if I would have made, if they would have bought, if I would have got. That's an excuse. And because those excuses become the exit. So when you don't get this you're going forward to, that you've announced, that everybody's aware of, then you got this. And that was there all along. And that becomes our escape mechanism. So when you escape, the escape is actually intentional, it's methodical, it's premeditated, and it's built into the psyche. Even if you think it's unconscious, there are no unconscious acts. When people say, you know, I wasn't focused. Oh, yes, you were. You're just on the wrong thing. I wasn't conscious. Yes, you were. But unconscious on the wrong thing. Think when you don't do something. Think when you lose something. It's because your mind was on something else, not what you were supposed to be focused on. So do we actually say, what can I learn from that? No. Instead, we go ahead and do it again and get angry with ourselves or someone else. Then suddenly circumstances become what bothers us. So I'm suggesting that when you wake up one day and realize that you simply have feared the wrong things, you have feared surrendering completely the limited or dysfunctional self, the imperfect self. But everything in life is imperfect. When you get close enough to it, you see the imperfections. But unfortunately, we can't convince ourselves or others that life is imperfect because everyone is judging someone based upon an imperfect value. Just look at what happens when you're 30 and you're judged at one level, and you're 40 in a different level, and 50 a different level. Three people walking in to get a job, all equally qualified. I can assure you that the 60-year-old or 70-year-old will be the ones first to be disqualified because of their age. It shouldn't be that way. And then you're disqualified based upon how you look. Then you're disqualified based upon all the other limitations that someone has mastered. Racism has to be mastered. It doesn't come naturally. Bias has to be mastered. Bigotry has to be mastered. Prejudice has to be mastered. Fear has to be mastered. You can't be afraid until you've mastered it. You can't be dysfunctional until you've mastered it. And one day you wake up and you are a master of it. Now realize there's a consequence that when you've mastered any limiting factor, when you've mastered it, its opposite has to be surrendered. You can't master both. So we're all masters of frequently the wrong energy. Our primal chi is our life force. When we're in balance, it flows. Life is harmonizing. All of our chakras are in rhythm and harmony. We feel good. We feel at ease. We feel that the world around us and our energy are moving at the same level. We can heal with that energy. We can bring in other people's energy. We can connect authentically. And authentic connections mean there's no impediment, there's no barrier. And when you connect with something that's authentic, you feel it. Remember, anything you're working hard on, you're working on the wrong energy. So I know the moment someone says, but I'm working so hard, then they haven't surrendered their opposite. When you're connecting, it is fluid. You're at ease. Being honest should be at ease. Well, if you're not honest, then you're dishonest. Dishonesty requires mastery. And what we do, we are disingenuous because we only show what we feel confident can be accepted in a politically talking system, politically correct talking system, but what we really feel, we have to hide. Go back to what I said, we're going to hide anything that will cause it to be judged in the wrong way or harshly. So once again, we can't be honest. We can't say, well, here's what I really think. Here's what I really believe. Here's what I really want to do. Because if we did that, someone says, hold on a second. We can't accept that. And then we think, okay, what is going to happen now? Am I going to be judged? Will I be thrown out? Why be excluded? The human condition craves connection. Now take a careful look at what you've connected with and ask yourself, is it real or is it part of your dysfunction? Does it honor you and liberate you or does it condition you? Anything that you have not yet mastered requires patience and compassion. The nice thing about causing choices that end up in disasters, of many or major disasters, is that we can actually benefit from that. If we realize that that disaster, by doing something wrong, is a wonderful lesson. Now, you either actively seek the lessons in life, and that requires discipline. To seek a lesson, you must close all exits. Board them up. But you haven't done that. You're always looking for that exit. And one way to get the exit is to get other people to agree with you. So confession, declaration, betrayal of our fear. That's why people betray. They're actually betraying fear. But what if you said, there's no option? Exit's not an option. Compromise is not an option. I'm going to do this until I do it right. I'm going to work on myself until I get it right. And if I have to go through pain, I will embrace the pain and I'll be present for it. Do you know what it means when something bad happens to you and instead of reacting, instead of getting angry, instead of looking for the exit, you simply stop and you go silent and you're simply present in that moment with what you're experiencing. Just present. When you're simply present, then a language deeper, more meaningful than a verbal message communicates with you. In that silence of just being present, the universal energy comes in. The chi brings that energy in, and you have all that energy to work from. And now you can look at those problems in a proper perspective because you're not emotionally attached to the outcome. When you detach the ego from the outcome, then the outcome no longer is something to be alien to you or feared. You're simply aware of what you're doing. Right now, people are in unhappy relationships more often than not and afraid to commit themselves to a true relationship of an authentic connection because they have not mastered the art of being honest to themselves. So they bump from one to another or get stuck in something that is a compromise. So what we do, we adapt to laying on a bed of nails and anesthetize the pain by our distractions. And we think as long as I master something that feels good in my life, I can tolerate the pain of everything that doesn't. And then think about what you master that takes away the pain from what you have not. And that shows you where most people are. And that's why we are sublimating all the time. You wouldn't have a nation of people who gamble and smoke and drink and overwork and complain and whine and moan and blame unless it was pure sublimation of what is not authentic in their life. So that's what we should be looking at, not the end stage of it, not a psychosis or neuroses, not obesity or heart disease or cancer. That's the very end stage of the mastery of your opposite that has a negative consequence. Master the wrong energy, you're going to have all negative consequences. Even though along the way, you may think that you've gotten positive results because almost anything that you work hard at initially, you will get a result that someone will acknowledge. Well, if that were the case that all we have to do is have hard work, then everybody who's a hard worker would be happy. Isn't the case. Everyone who's successful financially or in their careers. But that's not true either. The difference is, think how much those people who are successful at doing something have hidden from themselves and others what they don't want the world to see. Full revelation always is shocking to us. Why should it be? Why should it be shocking when we find out something about someone that we didn't want them to be, like a hero? Oh, we find out they're really human. Well, it's their fault maybe for not allowing us to see how human they were, and it's our fault for projecting upon someone else the ideals that we're not willing to manifest in ourselves. Always be careful around people who need you to be a hero, because it means that they're going to blame you for not being a hero. You're their standard instead of them being their own standard. So how can we disengage from one energy and master what allows us the freedom to be? Well, first you have to go back in your history. Go back to when you were a little boy or a little girl. What did all little boys and little girls have in common? Huh? Well, for those of you who actually were little boys and girls, some of you just grow up as sad-assed adults. But for the rest of us, I'm sure some of you came out of our birthing canal and you were 160 pounds just angry. I protest! What did children have? What are you? Innocence, what else?
Honesty.
Honesty, what else?
Playful.
Spontaneous.
Joy.
Predictable. Unpredictable.
Inquisitive.
Inquisitive.
Curious.
And then what do we do?
We give them parents.
And you know the problem of a parent, any dysfunction the parent has, generally is the dysfunction of the grandparents, dysfunction of the great-grandparents. They keep passing on the dysfunction because everyone's mirroring the mastery of something else, assuming that it was the right thing to do. Think of how many of our parents smoked and drank, thinking it was the right thing to do. They mastered that because it was socially acceptable. You went to a party in the 1940s and 50s, as our parents did. You had a drink, you smoked, you ate crappy food, and you talked conservative. Right? And you went home anally retentive and hung yourself up in a closet. So, and anything that was its opposite was threatening. Ooh, those long-haired, ooh. Remember, just having long hair was such a threat. People got in fights over it. It became a major issue. Hair. Well, what about Christ's hair? What about Buddha's? Well, not Buddha. What about the lack of Buddha? Was something wrong with Buddha? Was he shaving his head? Did he have male pattern baldness? What about Abraham and Isaac? Were they hippies? What about the picture of God or goddess? Long hair. Ooh, a hippie god. Did he do drugs? Did he eat magic mushrooms? Did he skip with Timothy Leary? No one asked those questions. We were just threatened by it. Because we were threatened by our opposite. Because we had not mastered compassion. Only when you are a victim, an unjust victim, can you appreciate through empathy how much others have suffered and how you continuing not to appreciate what they've suffered from means that others will suffer because of it. So when you don't address social issues, you don't address humanistic issues, it means that you're allowing someone else to exploit. When you don't clean up the environment, address it, someone else is going to exploit it. That's the lack of empathy. And don't say you have it. It's only when you do it that you have it. Then again, you master the art of thinking more than doing. And some people just think with an intellect. Others think with their emotions. Some people are just emotionally all over the place. They're like a basketball. Boom, 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 boom. And other people, they're just methodical. Neither one works. Because it's not about emoting, which is a conditioned response, and it's not about the intellect, which is a controlled response, but it's about surrendering and opening the chi, which is the greater innate wisdom. And wisdom exceeds knowledge. Because wisdom acknowledges you're connecting that vital life force with others. So how do we change this? I have some questions I'm going to ask you. And how you answer them can determine how hard or easy it's going to be for you to surrender this. Every problem is a lesson. Every challenge is a test. So think of the lessons that you have not wanted to learn because you were afraid of the outcome of how you would be judged. That means what? What then did you master? What?
Avoidance.
What else? What did you master when you fear actively seeking a challenge because you're afraid of being tested? What else?
False safety.
You master false safety. So you stay cloistered. You stay within a box. You just stay within defined boundaries. Who defines your boundaries? Who?
You do.
You?
No. You never define your boundaries. You've merely accepted society. And society is whom? Everyone who's come before you who've mastered the lesson and now you're taking it on as your own. Why do you think so many doctors look at disease without looking at the person that the disease is manifesting in? And the very process. Why are so few people out of the box? It's only the holistic doctor who's out of the box looking at the whole person, not just the symptoms. And that's true at the school teacher who doesn't look at the curriculum, let alone how it's taught, doesn't even look at the teacher, just looks at the grades and the activity level of a child in class. That's thinking inside the box. It's outside of the box you can then take a look and see the strength or weakness of what you've been living by. So when you do not actively seek a lesson It's because you have not surrendered the fear of what a lesson could mean, because all lessons have the potential for one big thing. What is it? Change. Can you handle that kind of truth? Up to this point, no. So you develop a temperament, personality, that becomes highly reactive and defensive. I'm not going to do that. I'm in control of my life. I don't want anyone to tell me what to do, ever. Okay? Or there's another way of saying it. I'm too afraid to discipline myself to embrace the lessons I should so I can surrender the lessons that I don't want. Do you see how the opposites work? Because once you've mastered one, it's going to keep you from the other, even though you want the results of this. You can't have the results of this if you're still holding on to this. You've got to surrender this, actively seek the lessons of life, and stay on that lesson until you've mastered it. Only when you've mastered it, when you have no fear, when you have no hesitation, when you're not afraid of learning and being tested in what you've done. Because only by being tested will you know where you're at in your mastery process. I actively seek challenges and debates on public health issues. I've had over 500. Why do I seek these? Because I want to make sure that my mind, my energy, my chi, my intuition is kept sharp, focused, disciplined. What if I got lazy and said, well, I know something. I know more than the average person about health, so I can float. I can let it go. Well, how often in life do you let it go? And then one day you wake up and the mind isn't as quick. The body doesn't look the same. The energy's not the same. You're not seeking challenge. We're a society that's mastered the art of looking for what? What do we look for?
Comfort.
Comfort is denoted by what? Security.
Stability.
No. We think that stability manifests from security. So we say as long as we have security, we have stability. So therefore, we actively seek the very thing that weakens us. You see it in people who just want to get through a job, put in their years. People just want to know hassles in a relationship. People just want to look the other way when their neighborhoods are going downhill. People see corruption all around them and won't address it. They just don't hassle me. People just want the security of a cloistered environment, a safe relationship. And then one day you wake up and you realize, my God, I'm surrounded by negativity and toxic. Well, when did you stop to address it? Did you think the world was going to stop changing to the worse because you didn't want to address it for the better? You wanted it to be good, and yet you did nothing to actively change the negative to a positive. Well, if all you do is work on the positive, which is your security, and you avoid all the negative, then you've got a problem. It's like all the rich hanging out where rich people are, no interest in the poor, because they're afraid of what it is to be poor, because they've never mastered what? What have so many rich people not mastered?
Fear.
No. No. Empathy. They can't empathize with someone because they haven't been that poor, unless say one day they are that poor. Then one day when someone is so poor that they have nothing, then they ask people who once were part of them and nobody will give them a break. There was a woman who came to me. I was in my office working one night and she came in because it was about 2 o'clock in the morning and it was raining outside and I hear the doorbell ring and I look on the security monitor, here's this person downstairs, and I go down and I said, yes. She says, I drove in from Long Island. I didn't know what else to do, and I saw your light on, and I wanted to talk with you. And I said, what about? She said, well, I'm in a crisis. I said, what kind of crisis? She said, well, I've been married for 22 years to a very famous physician out on Long Island, and we're very prominent. We have 3 kids, and my husband was having an affair with one of the women in his office, and when I found out about it, I told him that this had to stop, and he said no, and so he got a divorce. And that in itself was a crisis enough for me, but now my children have sided with him and all of our friends have sided with him because he has the power and I don't. So I virtually have no friends, no family, and nothing that I once thought was so important. And I said, good for you. You're one of the luckiest women on Long Island. He says, what do you mean? I said, at least you know the truth. I said, everyone else is still living in illusion. It's just they haven't had a crisis to see how much of their life is a lie. Your fears of being a nobody where everybody is important, meaning everybody in your life is important. So look at how many things you did for social causes in your schools and your hospitals only because it manifests your image of a responsible person. So everyone went to your husband because he had the power. You didn't have the power. So now you see that all along you had no real power except what is manifested or thrown off by your husband. So you were living in your husband's shadow. Well, how'd that help you? Except you were just one of the people benefiting from that negative consequence. So everybody's living this illusion that you're only good or valued if you have something to show for it. Your husband had a position, money, wealth, and therefore that was more important than the reality of who you are as a human being. Now you're just a human being, and there's no room in your community for human beings. But you should have known this. So you've been given a lesson. You should pray for the joy of the lesson you've been given and realize the pain you're feeling, which is your tears and your emotion. That's merely the defense mechanism of an overreactive defense system. You're free. You're free. And I told her this. I said, there was a couple months ago, I was coming home and I walking up the street, and I saw this man, I guess he was in his 60s, and he was under a street light and looking on the ground. And I went over, I said, is there something you're looking for there? And he said, yeah, I'm looking for car keys. And so I got down on the ground, I was looking with him, and I looked in the drain, and I pulled out the drain thing and got down in there. And I must have spent maybe an hour looking, and I finally says, well, sir, I don't think your keys are here. And he says, well, I know they're not here. I says, where are they? They says, they're over there. I says, over there? He's, yeah, in the dark. He says, but, I said, why are you here? He said, there's more light here. Now think of that. Sounds like some of your lives? You've been looking in the wrong place because it was more comfortable to look for the problems, the solutions to your problems, instead of looking where the actual problems were. The problem wasn't the lack of money. The problem wasn't not having enough hours in the day. The problem was not having too many things on a to-do list, including not having you on a to-do list. The problem was not having people you couldn't communicate with. I've never met anyone who had a problem in communication, ever. Yet we're told, we're not communicating. We've got to talk. Talk, serious talk. Ooh, the big serious talk. Ooh, what's that about? No, we need to talk. We do? About what? You're not hearing me. You're not listening to me. You don't hear what I'm saying. Wrong. Wrong. People hear exactly what you're saying. People know what you're saying. People know who you are. They're just not honoring it. You haven't given people credit. Do you ever not understand what someone's feeling? No. You know when there's a problem, and you know when there's not a problem. The trouble is we feel that we're communicating when someone agrees with us. And if someone disagrees with us, then we've got to convince them that we're right. And when we finally break them down and they agree, yeah, you're right, now we're communicating. It's a game, isn't it? But most of life is an illusion. Rarely is it honest. That woman had been living an entire illusion. The women were not her friends for her. She was looking in all the wrong places for her truth, but she was looking where she felt comfortable. The home, the position, the money, the acknowledgement. Just like the man looking where it was more comfortable, but where he knew he wouldn't find the answer. And that's what happens every time you go out the exit of life. You've disconnected from the lesson. You're afraid of the test. And you'll learn nothing. So the next day, you got to start all over again. But you never really start all over again, do you? Because you're starting all over again tomorrow, which is already no longer today. You lost today. How many days are you going to lose before one day you wake up and say, my God, how many days of my life do I have to lose? When you're 20, you think you got a lifetime to lose. When you're 30, you're suddenly thinking, maybe I better get serious about this. By the time you're 35, you're already in a panic of searching for all the right meaning and communication and relationships. By the age of 40, you're now depressed because you haven't found what you were looking for, and what you think you have found suddenly becomes the artificial light that goes on that keeps you from looking for the real answer. So now you're making it look like you have a life when it's just an illusion. The relationship's an illusion, the career's an illusion, your attitude, your rituals each day, they're an illusion. But they're a well-groomed illusion. You believe them because you've lied to yourself and you've mastered lying to yourself. And others believe them because you lie to other people. But we can lie with a straight face, and we can lie with a smile, and we can lie with charm. Or we can lie with tears and then want people to give us compassion. But at the end of the day, when you ask, do you really feel complete and whole in this moment? Could you do nothing today and feel good about it? Most people are going to say no. Can you just disconnect from all your responsibilities for a week? And the answer is no. In fact, most people can't disconnect for an hour. Everywhere people are going, they have to do something. Just take a little extra work with them, an extra book to read, as if time itself was something to fear when you're alone with it. Just you and time, because then there's just you. And so we always keep ourselves busy. And the more busy you are, the more we're dancing away from ourselves. And at the end of the day, we're older, not wiser, and we're right back to where we started as far as any lesson. Next, where do we look for our truths? Almost always where we were taught the truths are. Unfortunately, the places we look are conditioned responses. We look at authority figures. So we trust authority as if it has answers we don't have. We look for leaders as if the leader is more enlightened than we are. We hope that people that we've trusted can be trusted with something as valuable and sacred as our lives. But do we want to know the truth that these are just people who are fallible, who've hidden their real agendas, hidden their real motives, and we've only accepted what we want to accept, and we don't want them to show us more? We're afraid that people show us too much. If people show us too much, we're going to be disillusioned. So at a certain point, we don't get too close to any problem. We get too close, it sears us right through the psyche. So we stay at a comfortable distance. As long as we stay at a comfortable distance and we don't go in there and master the truth, then we'll never know it. What happens when you try to change your problems without first changing your perceptions? What happens? Nothing changes, does it? The problem can only change when the perception of what the problem is changes. When I was in college, we had a very rowdy group of guys. And every day in class, I refused to participate in all the gags and the clowning around. I was like a laser focusing on what the professors were saying. I asked questions, but at nighttime, I didn't want to study. I wanted to go out and play and have fun, shooting pool, whatever we were doing, basketball, dancing. And when it came test time, I had no problem with the tests because where it was important, I paid attention. And I heard what they were telling us, and I knew that they wouldn't be teaching us stuff unless they thought it was important. Whether I ultimately used it or not was my choice, but at least I wanted to know what they felt was important, and I wanted to tell them back what was important. And then my friends weren't paying attention in class, and then didn't know the perspective. They didn't have a perspective. What would happen if, instead of making compromises against you, you made transformational processes for you? What if instead of looking at the problems that we're faced with in life, we immediately go to a place that's neutral? We detach as if there's two of us. The us that's conditioned that may make a right decision and the us that's conditioned that may make the wrong decision. Confused, which decision should I make? Should I yes or no? What if we just got neutral? What if we detach from the outcome so we could look at it in an honest way of what it is? Then suddenly on that airplane where they say chicken Kiev, you go, no, I don't need it. My body can handle, I will not die of malnutrition over the next 2 hours till I get to the city. Instead of, yeah, what else you got? There's little crackers? Give me that too. You got butter? I'll take your butter. You know, coffee? Sure, give me coffee. Jack Daniels? Throw it in too. Is it free? Throw it all in. And you watch people actually eating this stuff as if it's food. That's all compromising. Now, do you think that's the only place they're going to compromise? No. They have mastered compromise, so therefore, any time they're given an opportunity to compromise, they've already shown they're going to. Now think of how that then ends up manifesting in losing our body. And then think of how we lose our mind when we lower our standards. Be around someone who's negative and gossips and watch how long it takes you to start being negative and gossiping. That's adaptation. Think how many times in your life you've been around people who just got a bad mood. And in time, you just kind of give it up and let them have their bad mood. All right? What if you didn't? What if you said, that's your mood, and you have a right to it, but in my life, I only want positive energy. So unless you're willing to share positive energy, don't come around me. That's transcending a problem by declaring yourself, and that's honesty. It also puts you at risk. Oh, what are you too good for us? No, I'm not judging me against you. I'm saying that I have chosen to have a positive energy in my life. That's my choice, as your choice is to have something different. I'm not telling you not to have your choice. I'm just simply saying don't share it with me. I don't allow people to gossip around me. I don't allow hearsay. I don't allow innuendo. No. If I got something to say with someone, I'll call them and say it. But if I start compromising myself, then what have I done? I've mastered its opposite. So by mastering honesty, even when people are uncomfortable with it, at least I know that I'm not going to take a step back to where I don't want to be. It's very easy to adapt, and once you adapt, the energy of adaptation is not forgotten. Your whole body is energy. Every cell in your body, over 100 trillion cells, are working in perfect harmony. You didn't teach it any of those lessons. It knew it. What you teach is how to adapt to you, how to get fat and expand, how to maintain balance. That's perfection. Perfection exists because when you get fat, you're perfectly fat. You are. Well, think of it, all right? Is there any biological way? Now, here's a physician, medical doctor. Is there any known scientific study or any scientific hypothesis that can explain why the body perfectly aligns fat starting at the point of gravity? None. There's no reason in the world that when you get fat, you can't have it all in your nose. Now, I think that'd be cool. You're 15 pounds, you get this bag that holds here. 30 pounds, you got a big bag. 80 pounds, man, you got to carry your nose around like this. And what if you got post-nasal drip? How messy that would be. Hopefully you didn't have a lot of hair in there. You got to go to a barber shop for that one. So, but think of that. You gain weight not just in the left hip, or the right, or just the front or back. You get a proportional because maintaining balance is essential. So the point of gravity is always maintained, no matter how fat you are. Isn't that a miracle? That's a miracle. That is perfection. And you lose weight in the same way so you don't lose your balance. One little lesson to show you the perfection that exists within us. Well, you can't have that kind of perfection unless there was an innate knowledge. The chi, the primary chi, is your innate knowledge. It's there to defend you when you do something wrong. No matter what you do wrong, smoke, drink, eat sugar, you know, vote Republican, no matter how bad your cells get, your cells are there to defend you and correct you. And yet you didn't teach it any of that. How does it know how to detoxify the liver? How does it know how quickly to put food through the stomach? If it's fish, just digest at one level. If it's tofu, a different level. If it's brown rice, a different level. It knows. And how does it know how to turn off that so you don't eat a hole in your stomach? It knows. Because it's only mastered what is right for you. Uncompromising. Transcending everything you throw at it, bacteria, viruses, alcohol, destroying cell, the chi, the essential life force continues to honor you 100%. When you don't honor you, 10%. You've never in your life honored you 100%. And yet it's doing it 24 hours a day, every day of your life. That's the wonder of that life. And that's why you should never take life for granted. Now, it couldn't honor you if it didn't have memory, because the repetition is the memory. And the energy is how that memory is carried. So anything that you have mastered that's a dysfunctional quality is also kept in your memory. So now you've got the problem of having two energies, one that you've mastered that's incorrect, and one that you have to transcend. The case is the lion in the zoo, where it was in 12-foot by 12-foot cage, pacing back and forth for years until they expanded its terrain to 5 acres. And they put it in there, it stayed 12 foot by 12 foot and wore down the grass. Would not go elsewhere because the conditioning. Think of how many exercises of your life are merely conditioned responses. You have to break that conditioning. And the only way you can break condition, you have to repetition. Mastery is repetition. Focus on what you want the outcome to be and keep focusing and doing until one day you have mastered. And as you master one energy, the other energy is surrendered. You must overcompensate for one before the one that is overcompensated transcends and decompensates the other. That's how mastery is done. You can't do it thinking about it. You can't do talking about it. You have to do it. It's in the doing and staying neutral in the conditioned response to it. Otherwise, you're not going to eat things. If you don't think the taste is good, you're not going to go places. If you are prejudged against them, you're not going to talk with cultures or races or aged people. If you think your condition is don't hang with those people, don't socialize with them, don't even go there. Stay neutral. Then when you talk with someone of a different culture, different age, different gender, then let it be what it is. Then you hear everything when you stay silent. You feel everything when you have not prejudged it. There'll be things you don't like, in which case you can acknowledge after the experience you don't like it, and that's a lesson. There'll be things you like, and you'll acknowledge it afterwards. But don't stop your mastery, don't stop learning because of what you don't like. Do you realize how many things I've eaten in my life I didn't like but were good for me? I had to do it until I mastered the new taste. Two of my best friends were over the age of 85, Paul Swan, the Renaissance artist, and Dr. Emmanuel Arvisi, the great Renaissance scientist. Here I am, 22 years old, befriending two of these guys, and they were wonderful human beings. But what if, like my other buddies, what are you hanging out with those guys for? They're old. Well, you don't have their knowledge, so I want to be where their energy is. And they were willing to share. Think of what we don't do. That's the conditioning. Now, how many areas of your life are you conditioned? And how many of those conditioned areas have you mastered? And therefore, you've got to surrender what you've mastered, this condition that limits you, so you can be unlimited in what you go forward with. You can't do both. If you're honoring your opposite, you're going to have conflict. Even if you have desire, you won't have the outcome you want.
I just felt we needed to give a little balance to all the hard-hitting and reporting and important issues. Thank you all for listening and have a nice day.
Mother, mother, there's too many of you crying. Brother, 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 there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Yeah. Father, Father, we don't need to escalate. You see, war is not the answer.
for only love can conquer hate. You know we've got to find a way to bring some love and get here today. Picket lines and picket signs, don't punish me with brutality. Talk to me so you can see, oh, what's going on. Oh, but who are they to judge us simply 'cause our hair is long? Oh, you know that we've got to find a way, bring some understanding here today. Oh, 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 picket lines and picket signs, don't punish me with brutality. Come on, talk to me. You can see what's going on. Yeah, what's going on? Tell me what's going on. I'll tell you what's going on. Ooh.
Right on. Right on.